And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the 2010 college football season, and welcome to the National Football Post on the Quad podcast. I am Dave Miller, college football writer at the NFP, and I am joined by Director of College Scouting, Wes Bunting, and we will both be with you on a weekly basis throughout the season on this show, from the opening games on Thursday night all the way until the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are crowned the BCS National Champ. Well, that may take a few years or so. That's reality. Wes, are you excited for the new season?
Dave, what a brutal intro. I mean, I was about to give you props until you bring your Golden Domers into it. So.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Wes. I'm hearing some good things from South Bend. I think Brian Kelly has him on the right track, at least. I mean, I wanted John Gruden to be the head coach, but I'm not going to hate on Brian Kelly.
Kelly's got things going in the right direction there. Your Golden Domers, they're on the right track. I was watching ESPN this morning. They have Jeremy Bloom doing college football now, and he picked the Golden Domers to go, I believe, to the Sugar Bowl or something like that. So, you know, you and Jeremy Bloom have something in common. Think of it that way.
Well, hold on a second, Wes. Are you telling me that Jeremy Bloom has joined Brock Huard on the ESPN roster?
Yeah, absolutely. He's on there. He was with Mark Schlabach today, calling what games are going to be going, what teams are going to what bowl games.
Oh, well, I'm upset I missed that, but not so much that I miss Jeremy Bloom. But I bet he picked up some ladies at Colorado, and he was a skier too. So
yeah, mostly he had that going for him. So
he did. All right, Wes, let's get into these juicy matchups for Thursday night. We're actually going to go in depth on two of them. Let's start with Southern Miss at South Carolina. Will this be the season that oft-criticized quarterback Steven Garcia puts it all together for Steve Spurrier and the Gamecocks? We have Southern Miss 5 points away from claiming the Conference USA East Division crown last season. It's safe to say they will be battling Central Florida for the division crown this fall if the offensive line could get stabilized. Wes, this will be the first meeting between the two schools in their history. Who are some of the names we should look for on a prospect level in this ballgame?
Well, I think first off with South Carolina on the offensive side of the ball, Jarrell King, he's an offensive lineman, played left tackle as a sophomore, was up and down, but physically this guy had this skill set to potentially mature into a pretty solid NFL prospect. Last year he really struggled, bounced between guard and left tackle. He's also had some heart issues that's kind of stunted his growth. He's needed a couple heart surgeries to stay on the field, but they said he's medically clear right now. He's going to start at left tackle for him. I think he's a better fit as a zone blocking scheme type guard. He's got pretty good range, a nice thick base, a bit thin through the legs, but the guy can sit into his stance. He's one guy that I think a bit of a boomer bust player to look at on South Carolina. Defensively, Cliff Matthews is going to have all the protection schemes rolled toward his way. He's about a 6'4", 260-pound linebacker. Doesn't have a great first step, doesn't play with great leverage, and isn't a real physical bull rusher. But what he has is good suddenness, knows how to use his hands, slips blocks. Lodi Ajiboye, the interior defensive lineman, this guy, 6'2", 275 pounds, is a three technique, but he's an explosive one-gap guy, gets up the field. I mean, those are three guys to look at on South Carolina.
Wes, let me ask you this. We saw Eric Norwood in his career at South Carolina. I kind of dubbed the whole Mr. Thursday Night Football thing because every time the Gamecocks were on Thursday night, every time they played, Eric Norwood seemed to be a guy to make plays on the football. Those prospects you just mentioned, could they step up in Norwood's absence, or is there another guy that's going to kind of fill the Norwood-type role for defense that was ranked 15th in the nation last year?
Well, I mean, with Norwood, and they had a guy by the name of Clifton Gathers last year, these two guys were unique pass rushers. And when you have a lot of pass rushers with Cliff Matthews thrown into the ring as well, defenses struggle, or offenses, excuse me, struggle to key in on one guy. This year with Cliff Matthews, I mean, consistently, you know where he's going to be lined up. Teams can roll their protection, can roll their chip his way. And the guy has to show a consistent motor because he can slip blocks. It's when he sees the double team, does he have the willingness to consistently fight his way through blocks and get after people? But if you're looking for a guy that needs to make plays for South Carolina, it's defensive back Chris Culliver. This is a guy, 6 foot, 197 pounds. He's fluid. He's rangy. Played safety last year. He's going to make the move to cornerback this season. The biggest knock on him was lacked ideal instincts in the deep half. Struggled to read and react quickly. Didn't find the football as well as some of the other safeties on South Carolina. But when given a chance to play in man-to-man coverage, this guy was really impressive. Good ball skills, click and close ability, made plays on the football. He's going to match up with a guy, DeAndre Brown, who's as talented as any wide receiver in the country on Southern Miss. And yes, that includes Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Michael Floyd, Jonathan Baldwin. This guy at 6'6", 231 pounds. He runs extremely well. Phenomenal freshman year. He's coming off a nasty broken leg. I heard he's not 100% still, but if this guy can be 80, 90%, he's still better than 95% of the receivers in the country. So that's a matchup to key in on. But Dave, I'm going to throw it back to you and ask you. You're a big fan of the head ball coach. You know, with Stephen Garcia at the helm, we've seen South Carolina has notoriously come out of the gate slow, barely beating NC State, not putting up many points last year. Do you think the head ball coach and Stephen Garcia will be on the same page with some of those talented receivers this year?
Wes, I mean, if you look at Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Gurley, I mean, how can you not succeed if you're Stephen Garcia? Granted, the offensive line struggled last year. They definitely did. The running game was inconsistent, and I think with Spurrier calling the plays this year from ball coach Junior, he took the play calling away duties from his son. He said he wanted to establish the run more this season, and I think they have a couple of talented backs returning, plus you add in Marcus Lattimore. South Carolina is going to have the balance on offense for Garcia to succeed, but will Spurrier have a quick hook? Garcia's got all the talent in the world around him, but the thing that worries me is week two against Georgia. If Garcia struggles, I just think that Spurrier would make the switch to Connor Shaw, because we've seen throughout the offseason, I mean, if Steve Spurrier is not behind you, then he's going to have a quick hook. So, I mean, it's something to watch. Does Garcia have the talent? We've seen flashes. I mean, we've seen flashes of it. This is the year. Now, granted, they're going to be without Wesley Saunders, and we don't know how long he's going to be out. He's going to miss the opener because of suspension. We'll see.
Yes, Saunders is a huge loss because that was one. The first thing he gives you, he's a big guy, 6'6", 280 pounds, a big target, a calming influence over the middle of the field. When he sits down, you don't have to be that accurate with the football because he can go snatch it. Two, I mean, he can line up with his hand on the ground, accelerate down the field, but you can split this guy out, and Spurrier loved to play him in the slot consistently, like we see Matt Bowen always talks about with the Indianapolis Colts. When they come out in posse, three wide receivers and a tight end, they can end up splitting out that tight end as a fourth wide receiver. That's what they can do with a guy like Wesley Saunders. He pretty much acts as a downfield vertical threat. With him out, and Garcia really liked him as a safety blanket, Garcia's not real instinctive, struggles to anticipate throws, goes through his progressions, likes to lock on to receivers, and Saunders was one guy he could consistently lock onto, and even if he was covered, he could throw him open because Saunders could go up and get the football. It'll be tough without Saunders on the field early in the year.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm a South Carolina fan, you cannot overlook this ball game. I understand that Georgia is huge game, typically play the second week of the season. It's a rivalry game. But Southern Miss scares me if I'm a South Carolina fan. Wes, are you leaning one way or the other? Do you think that DeAndre Brown gets negated by Culliver?
You know, I think if this is a DeAndre Brown who is at 85 to 90%, I can't see my boy Culliver, who is seeing his first real time at corner since high school, being able to match up, physically press Brown off the line, get down the field. We've seen Brown struggle at times versus press coverage, versus Kyle Wilson during Brown's freshman year. But this was a guy that had, I believe, 700-800 yards last year, and he wasn't even close to 100%, still working his way back from that broken foot. I think he's going to continue to get in better shape, become a little more physically improved throughout the year. I think DeAndre Brown's going to give Culliver all he can handle. I think South Carolina's going to have to roll coverage his way. But I don't think it's enough for Southern Miss. I think Brown's going to have a really big game. Anthony Gray, the defensive tackle inside, I think he has the ability to make some plays, force Garcia to get the ball out of his hands quicker than he wants. But I just think there's too much firepower on the Gamecock side. I don't think they score a ton of points, but I think they score enough to get by Southern Miss because of that defense. There's a lot of good returning young talent, plus Kiff Matthews and Lottie Ajiboye. I think they end up pulling this one off something in the realm of like 17-7, 17-6.
I was thinking a 13-9 classic.
It's much like NC State last year.
Yeah, South Carolina has played some brutal games in the past. I still can't believe we're entering the sixth season of the Steve Spurrier era, and the Gamecocks just really haven't found any offensive rhythm. I'm really looking forward to seeing DeAndre Brown Thursday night, and because you described him as Calvin Johnson, essentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's not too many guys that are 6'6", 231 pounds that have been described, you know, with 4.4 speed that can get down the field. This guy's explosive. He's powerful. I believe the coach at Southern Miss has also coached the likes of Andre Johnson, another big-time guy, and he says DeAndre Brown is the most physically gifted guy he's ever seen, bar none. So right there, if he's being thrown with Andre Johnson, you know, the guy's a pretty talented player.
Oh, we got to let Fortinbaugh know about that. DeAndre Brown, future fantasy stud, maybe 2014, 2015?
Yeah, I'm sure Joe's already all over it. So.
I'm sure he is. All right, good stuff, Wes. Moving on, USC-Hawaii, a game that almost had to be canceled because of NCAA sanctions. Lane Kiffin will make his USC head coaching debut. I don't know about you, Wes. I expect Matt Bartley and the Trojans offense to have a big year. I know there's been talk about the Trojans playing a lot of young players, about offensive rhythm, but with USC, it all goes back to defense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And with listening to Ed Orgeron, the defensive line coach at USC, how excited he is about their defensive front four, not only the talent, but the depth they have. Jarrell Casey at defensive tackle, he's going to make the move from the nose to the three technique. This is an explosive guy who plays with leverage, has a strong base, extends his arms, can be sudden on contact. I honestly think after watching him, he has the makings of becoming that next Mike Patterson, that next Cedric Ellis-type prospect to come out of Southern Cal. We know they have some speed pass rushers, but the guy I want to talk about then is Armand Armstead. This is a big, physical defensive end, a former defensive tackle at 6'5", 300 pounds. They're going to play him on the end spot. He can anchor versus the run game. He can overwhelm you versus the bull rush, and he's long-armed and sudden, so he knows how to slip blocks and get after the quarterback. I think these two guys are going to be absolutely dominant this year as junior prospects. It won't surprise me if both of them ended up coming out, and I think with Lane Kiffin, we know he wants to run the football, take shots down the field off the play-action game, and play good defense. And I think this defense with Monty Kiffin is going to be as good as any defense in the country this year.
I agree. I think the defense is scary. Even if Monty Kiffin wasn't there, I'd be scared to play them. Let me ask you this, though, Wes. What happened last season? Was it a thing where maybe some of the veterans who knew they would get drafted kind of checked out when things went a little sour against Washington? From a talent perspective, does USC still match up with some of the best in the SEC, like an Alabama, a Florida, and a Texas from the Big 12?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see year in and year they get these big 4-5-star recruits, and our own Greg Gabriel wrote a great piece yesterday on talking about 4- and 5-star recruits, how they end up panning out in college, and do they become great NFL players. And a guy that I think is a great example of this is the outside linebacker there, Michael Morgan. This is a long 6'4", 220-pound guy that was consistently overwhelmed and destroyed versus the run game. He played up near the line of scrimmage, failed to anchor. He's a better run and pursuit guy. He's got pretty good range, but when asked to stack and shed versus the run game, he was absolutely brutal. I think he's a better fit for Monty Kiffin's system this year. I think with all the athletes that they have, they want to be able to run, flow to the football, and make plays. And I think Monty Kiffin's defense is going to allow them to do it. So I think Michael Morgan's going to be in for a much better year. And a cornerback to watch is Sharice Wright. This is, in my opinion, one of the best senior corners in the country. Was supposed to start for the Trojans 2 years ago as a sophomore. I believe he injured himself, missed the whole year, was supposed to start last year due to academic problems, missed most of last year, but he got in versus Boston College in the bowl game. The guy's very fluid, in and out of his breaks, has the ability to turn, find the football, balance with his footwork, just a really talented cornerback. And I think if you have that big-time corner, linebackers that can run, and a defensive line that can pressure, that spells a lot of trouble for not only Pac-10 teams, but all the teams they're going to face this year. And I just think with the physicality of their defense, it's going to be too much for the Hawaii finesse offense to create a lot of points.
I'm glad you brought up Sharice Wright, Wes. USC, I believe, lost all 4 starters from their secondary. But Wright essentially is, you can look at him as a returning starter because he started in 08. I was a little concerned with the young secondary against the 4 wideout sets of Hawaii. But, I mean, you praise the defensive line. Do you think they get enough pressure on an overwhelmed Hawaii offensive line to sort of negate that high-pressure offense?
Absolutely. And the thing is, USC, they're not afraid to get up in the faces of wide receivers. They know they're more athletic than a guy like Greg Salas, the wide receiver, the big slot guy from Hawaii, that, you know, he's a potential NFL prospect, but this is a great game for him to prove whether or not he can beat press coverage, whether or not he can slip the bump, get into his route, create separation, use his big frame, and go up and pluck the football. He's not a burner by any stretch. He's not going to run by any of these USC corners, but he needs to show enough short area quickness where he can get his big frame in between a corner and the ball and go pluck the football. But overall, I mean, he's the top talent in their receiving core, and I think he's going to have a tough time creating a lot of separation versus these corners, let alone some of the other guys they have in their receiving core. So I just think it's going to be too much USC on defense, too much power running up front. And hopefully we'll be able to see our boy Mitch Mustaine come the third, fourth quarter, because he's a guy that, you know, he's 8-0 all-time versus SEC play. I'd like to see him get some snaps and maybe turn himself into a draftable prospect.
I completely agree. I loved Mitch Mustaine at Arkansas. I was really upset when Houston not continually, when he was at Arkansas, went to Casey Dick, and now Mitch Mustaine. We know about the transfers. Are you staying up late for this one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a bit of a USC homer. I try not to be a homer of anyone, but I just like the style of play. I'm a huge Lane Kiffin fan. Love Monty. Love Edo. So I'm expecting them just to not only roll in this one, to roll all year long. Plus with the running backs they have, Allen Bradford, Gable, I just think you're going to see, you know, 35, 40 runs. Barkley will throw for over 300 off the play action game. Really excited, Big Dave, and maybe you can touch on this, are these receivers. Ronald Johnson's going to man one spot, but they have a slew of talented freshmen that are coming in, competing for starting jobs on the other side. And from everything I heard, these guys are pretty much game breakers. Robert Woods is one freshman I keep hearing about, and he's supposed to start on one side opposite Ronald Johnson. Have you heard anything about any of the freshmen?
I've heard they absolutely love Robert Woods. A guy that I really thought was going to have an impact this year was Kyle Prater, but it looks like he's going in redshirt. I heard that Dylan Baxter is a YouTube clip waiting to happen out of the backfield. No, Barkley's going to have the weapons down the field. When you're looking at guys like Bryce Butler and Brandon Carswell having reps taken away from them by Robert Woods and some of these young guns, I like the fact that Lane Kiffin's playing the young kids. He has confidence in them. I just think USC is going to be an offensive juggernaut. I wanted to ask you this really quick also. We saw what happened with Jonathan Crompton last year at Tennessee, a guy who no one wanted to touch. And I really thought Lane Kiffin did a nice job of harnessing his talent and kind of getting him along to be a pretty decent SEC quarterback. And I believe he was drafted in the sixth round by the Ravens. Do you think that Kiffin could have that effect on Barkley? We saw how talented Barkley was last year as a freshman, threw some interceptions. Do you think Kiffin could have a similar effect on Barkley this year?
Absolutely. I mean, Lane Kiffin, in all honesty, he made Jamarcus Russell during his rookie year look like a respectable NFL quarterback. And as much as we hate on Kiffin and his wins and losses, the guy knows how to tutor quarterbacks and get the best play out of his quarterbacks. And Crompton's a great example last year. I mean, he wasn't even a draftable prospect coming into the year. Guy ends up going in the sixth round. Barkley, all the talent in the world. This guy, I think he's going to have a phenomenal year under Lane Kiffin. They have a talented running back squad who we've talked about. Gable, Bradford, Mark Tyler's going to start. Curtis McNeil's another one. So I just think with the balance they have on offense, with Barkley's maturity and willingness to be great, and Lane Kiffin's ability to call plays in order for his quarterbacks to be successful, I just think the Trojans are going to roll all year long, to be honest. I think Kiffin's, you know, he does not going to try to make anyone happy. He's going to roll up scores. They can still end up in the top five, even if they don't go to a bowl game. And I think that's his goal for the year.
I agree. I mean, I understand that the track record necessarily isn't there if you look at what he did with the Raiders. But to be honest with you, I thought he did a decent job at Tennessee. I thought Tennessee played Florida tough last year. I thought they played some teams tough. I thought they could have won some games that they lost. I really like USC this year. The only thing that concerns me is if their veteran talent sort of checks out when times get tough, knowing that a bowl game isn't on the horizon. But in terms of this game against Hawaii, I'm really looking forward to seeing Lane Kiffin's debut. All right, Wes, that'll do it for the opening podcast of the 2010 college season on the Quad. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is Dave Miller, Wes Bunting. So long, everybody.